Police agencies that give officers more freedom to decide when to give chase have higher rates of chases. In this instance, wrote Erin Marquez at Jalopnik, a person who was obeying the law could have been killed along with her unborn child, all thanks to a veteran police officer not knowing the law he is meant to enforce or being unable to resist performing a dangerous and unnecessary maneuver. Harper and her attorney told Newsweek they hoped their lawsuit will result in changes to the Arkansas State Police policies regarding PIT maneuvers. On social media, critics express outrage at the viral dashcam video. "The officers' action are attempt murder," tweeted author Geraldine Doroyer. This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. It is my absolute honor and pleasure to be with you guys today. And of course, with my wonderful friend and sister, Sister Razia Shamili. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's really an honor for me to be here.
Thank you so very much for joining us again on today's episode of Muslim Lady, where we've been discussing some really crucial, vital stuff. One of the hugest milestones any human being reaches in their life, should they choose to, conceiving, which is having children, bringing life to this world.
Should they choose to.
Being responsible for another living, breathing human being, should they choose to. But once you do have that child, you're done. There's no should you choose to train them as good human beings. There's no, Allah says, لا إكراه في الدين. You're not forced to choose religion. But once you choose religion, you don't get to buffet it.
Exactly.
Everything. You obey everything.
Right.
So once you have choose to have a child, you don't have any other choice but to train them in the best of your ability to... for them to be good, productive, useful, beneficial, kind human beings, you know, tracking their way toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we've been talking about the conditions, the times, the health and hygiene issues of conception and having kids. Some really interesting facts were shared. If you guys don't remember, make sure to go back to the previous shows and listen and refresh your memory on this topic. What are we going to discuss today in continuation of this crucial matter?
We are going to cover two general topics today, inshallah. Yeah. Not in this episode, but in the next series of episodes. One is points to consider with regards to the male sexual reproductive organ and the female reproductive organs. These two, because at the end of the day, a lot of problems or infertilities are because of the sicknesses or malfunctioning of the male and female reproductive systems. That although a lot of people are well educated in other fields, but they do not really know, they do not have enough information in this specific area.
Exactly. Or sometimes they're just shy to go and ask and find out and do research about it.
Exactly. So we're going to talk about, we're going to start with the male reproductive system, better to say, and then after the topic is finished, we're going to move on to the female reproductive system.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
The Noble Quran also has mentioned these two systems that have referred to them. For instance, in verse number 37 of chapter Qiyamah, the Noble Quran says, "Alam yakunutfatan min maniyin yumna?" Was he not a drop of emitted semen?
Right.
And then in another place, when we reach about the female reproductive system, it says, "And we have placed you in a very safe resting place," which is the uterus, the womb of the woman, right? So these have been mentioned in the Quran, and the qualities that have been mentioned with these are also very significant for people who want to ponder and who want to like have more research about these. Could be good hints to start with. Well, I have to tell you that recently, in the past couple of decades, we see that the infertility of men have become so much more. And in one research, we read that the sperm count among men in the West shows that they have more than halved in the past 40 years.
Right.
And they are falling by an average of 1.4% a year.
That's a lot.
So in the next 40 years, then most of the men are like 90% of the men, if we go out, you know, if we continue this lifestyle, they will be infertile.
What are the causes? What are we doing differently in these past 40 years?
Well, because of our lifestyles, because of our sleeping times, sleeping really late, because of all these additives that we have in our products, because of these... I'm going to mention them as we are going by. I have to also tell you that this whole phenomenon of reproduction mm-hmm. is being faced with a lot of challenges in this century.
Which is weird, because it's the most natural thing a human being can do.
Exactly, but it's, you know, all of these are because of the of a really big change in our own lifestyles. For example, in one study that was done in 2014, it was shown that 52% of all live births in the UK were to mothers who were aged 30 and over. Mm-hmm. And 67% of the fathers of these children were also in the same age group,
yeah.
30 and over. Why? Because people value work, because people value their individualism.
Aha. So capitalism, exactly. As I suspected, okay?
Exactly. When a woman reaches 32 years, her chances of conceiving decreases, mm. and by the time she's 40, they have fallen by half. Her chance of conceiving falls by half, by 50%. And these days, women get married in their 30s, late 30s, right. and then they have their first child in their, like, 35, 36-ish. And by the, even some women even get their, they have their first child after the age of 40, mm. which, like, they have already lost 50% of their fertility.
Right.
So this is a kind of lifestyle that we have changed, and there's so much emphasis in
Sister
Islam.
Razia, yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to ask. So what? So what if people don't want to have that many kids as, you know, their grandparents or great-grandparents did? Like, my grandma, from my dad's side, she had, like, 13 kids.
MashaAllah.
And, like, some of which have died.
Yeah.
Right? You know? I mean, that's how many they were and how old they were.
Yeah.
My grandma on my mom's side had, like, 5-6 kids. That's a lot of children.
Yeah, a lot.
And then what?
Then what is that? You know, nowadays we only have, like, single child in every family, and these children, well, there are two questions: why have children,
mm-hmm.
and why have only one? What's wrong with only having one child?
Yeah,
well, there's a big discussion that I know that a lot of these families with only one child, the child has he or she faces so many psychological problems because their playmate is their mom and dad.
Mm.
And these moms and dads are usually absent. They have to work full time, and they are in the care of a babysitter or a kindergarten. Mm. And
Children who have siblings often end up being messed up and broken as well.
No, I've seen that children who are raised with other children, mm-hmm. they have playmates, they learn how to manage their problems,
share, yeah.
they know how to socialize with other people, they are so much kinder, they are so much less selfish.
Mm-hmm.
All these will have to be discussed in, like, parenting programs, but we did have some programs, like, earlier about the problems of having an only child in the family. You know, the only playmate that the parents themselves get so fed up always being the only playmates of this little munchkin, right?
Right. We're going to be back after a short break to listen to some tunes. Make sure to stay with us here on Muslim Lady. Right, so moving on, it's interesting that you pointed out the fact that the Quran talks about the whole reproductive system of both males and females, showing that, you know, it's a natural thing to be talking about. It's not that taboo. It's not something that people should shy away from discussing and researching and learning about. In fact, if our youth learn about these things from an appropriate age, I'm not saying put it into the curriculum of kindergartners,
yeah.
but from an appropriate age, you know, they can base their life decisions so much better, and they would understand the whole complex system and not think that, well, my studies are more important now. I have children when I'm done with my master's or doctor's or whatever.
Exactly. The self-care also would be so much better when people actually know when they get conscious of what are the points that they have to be careful about. Why do they have to have children? Why do they have to have children at a young age? What are the problems of having children in old age? Like, you know, looking at it from a further away perspective, like at the whole puzzle, then you will really try to realize what's happening. You know, earlier in our previous program, you were talking about the fact that, well, at the time, when we're talking about Sayyida Zainab, Sayyida Khadija, Fatima, and Sayyida Ma'suma, salamullah alayha, all of them were protecting the imam of their time, and like they had a purpose, and now our imam is absent, so, you know, like, what should our motive be? Like, why should we go out and, like, try to fight for? There is no imam of the time. One of the things that came to my mind at that time was that child raising or parenting is definitely one of the most important, essential, pivotal skill or job that a man and a woman should learn. I'm not saying a woman, and I'm not emphasizing on mothering at all, because men too, they have their own responsibility, which have been neglected, and which, you know, has only been limited to providing for the, you know, material needs of the family. There's so much more about it, and all this is, we're talking about raising children that, according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I'm so happy, I am so proud of the great number of Muslims, and you know, even I am proud of the Muslims that, like, the premature births that happen, or the miscarriages of Muslim kids on the other on the Day of Judgment, and of all the people who utter the word of La ilaha illallah, there is no God but God, right? Mm-hmm. There is no deity but God. So all these show that we have a main task in this world, which is spreading the word of monotheism and tawheed, real tawheed.
Exactly, real
tawheed. Real tawheed, right? And this real tawheed is, like, after talking about the pillars of Islam, we go to, you know, after covering the basic faith level, we go to piety or taqwa, which is the manifestation of this iman or this belief in our outward behaviors, which means in our relationship with ourselves, in our relationship with our environment, in our relationship with God, and in our relationship with our family and the society. Mm. So, you see, we are thinking about a world where there's peace, where there is abundant blessings, and all these happen when a child is raised up in a truly healthy,
functional
Islamic way, right? So if this is the problem, is that we have hindered away, we have really forgotten our true purpose in this world, and we have been so distracted by a lot of trivial,
again, capitalism.
Exactly.
That's all the time we have for today's episode. Thank you, Sister Razia Darling, and thank you to our listeners for being with us. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Until another greeting, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free. I wish that somehow you tell me out aloud that on that day I'll be okay.
Food for thought.
Hello. Hello, everyone, and let us contemplate on what the Holy Prophet's eighth infallible heir, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him, has to say regarding good neighbors. Use good neighborhood with the graces, for they are wild. They will not return if they leave.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
The light.
Elders in an Indonesian town are rewarded with live chickens if they get vaccinated for COVID-19. Officials in a town of Sipanas launched the program after the vaccination campaign faced a low turnout from the public. Many have been reluctant to receive a jab over various reasons. Some say they were afraid they would die if they get vaccinated. Now it seems that the rewards they take have worked well and more people are willing to get a shot. Officials in the Indonesian town say they go door to door to give the elderly jabs and chickens to show their appreciation. Technology has come in handy to rescue animals in disaster zones. American cinematographer Douglas Throne has used a high-tech infrared drone to save animals from fire or storm or even stalking trees. The drone he uses has a large thermal camera, a spotlight, and zoom lens. The good point is that the aerial vehicle does not make too much noise, therefore it does not scare away animals.
So what I do is I fly infrared drones primarily at night over disaster areas after a hurricane or a fire hits, and I look for people's pets, whether it be cats or dogs, and I also look for injured wildlife, and then either I or rescue crews will go in and rescue the animals after I spot the animals after these natural disasters.
Throne has so far rescued hundreds of stranded animals in various places in the U.S. and Australia. Emergency services have allowed him to participate in rescue efforts after making sure that the drone works well to achieve its goal.
Children have their own ways of remembering the dead. In Gaza, Palestinian kids fly kites in memory of their peers who lost their lives in the recent Israeli onslaught. Dozens of kids participated in the event, holding kites bearing the pictures of 66 little victims. According to the organizers, the goal was to send a message to people around the world that Palestinian kids have the right to live a free and happy life. The children said their dream is to fly in the sky without any restrictions or wars. A herd of wild Asian elephants in China has turned into international stars after leaving their natural habitat in Yunnan province. The herd of 15 elephants is said to have left home in southwest China 15 months ago, but it was in April when they grabbed officials' attention after they were spotted by locals. The elephants have so far trekked nearly 500 kilometers across the country. They have traveled through villages and towns and even stopped for a rest. Local authorities have welcomed these mammoth travelers with treats of sweet corn and bananas. They are monitoring the elephants' movements with drones while keeping them away from residential areas.
Chinese grandma has given a dazzling display of her masterly kung fu performance at a martial arts competition. The 98-year-old woman and her son took the stage as a curtain raiser to the event. The duo put on a kung fu show before a large crowd of spectators who were impressed by her skillful gestures. She was invited to the competition to act as a judge.
I started practicing martial arts when I was only 5. I would box every day, learning movements like chopping, pushing palm, and thrusting palm. Though I am old now, my strength hasn't gone.
Zhang says she has inherited her family's martial arts. She's rumored to have a sense of justice from a very young age and try to help others, which earned her quite a reputation where she lives. Traditional martial arts have been passed down in the Zhongqing village located in Zhejiang province for 500 years. Go to Italy, where Mount Etna has put on an eye-catching show with its spectacular eruptions. Red hot lava fountains and plumes of smoke spewed up into the sky. The main eruption was located at the southeastern crater of the volcano. Mount Etna is Europe's tallest active volcano. It's located above the Sicilian town of Catania. It often erupts but rarely causes damage. However, nearby residents have to deal with ash showers. Geological studies show that Mount Etna has been active for more than 2 million years now. Egypt has opened its first archaeological replica factory in an attempt to promote its culture worldwide. The factory was inaugurated in response to people's demand for having detailed copies of ancient treasures. So far, over 6,400 high-quality replicas of ancient Egyptian artifacts have been produced. More than 150 artists work to make the goods out of stone, wood, and even gold.
The materials with which these are made are high quality. The highest and most elegant materials are being used to make these samples, and the materials are very close to those used to make the original artifacts.
The models have certificates showing that they are identical copies of the original artifacts. Each replica also has a barcode that provides extra information about the item. The factory is located in Kayuba, about 35 kilometers northeast of the capital, Cairo. Now, a lot of people don't like rats and find them disgusting most of the time. However, the rodents are doing life-saving work in Cambodia. Now, the Southeast Asian nation has deployed a new squad of African giant pouched rats to sniff out old landmines. The new recruits have shown an exceptional ability at their task, with their handlers claiming 100% accuracy. There are now nearly 50 demining rats working in the field in Cambodia.
The country started using the animal services in 2016, and they have helped detect and clear hundreds of landmines since. Last year, an especially heroic rat called Magawa attracted global fame after receiving a gold medal for his work. The hero rat, who is now retired, detected over 71 landmines.
A muralist from Greece is blending mythology with graffiti and street art to depict how COVID-19 has impacted lives around the globe. Ficus Antonios has painted the walls of many cities around the globe. He is now in the Cypriot capital, Nicosia, to continue his work. His latest artwork depicts Americus, a Cypriot mythical figure who was punished by the gods and turned into a plant. The Greek artist believes this theme is similar to the situation people around the globe have experienced since the pandemic began. He explains many people have grown roots because they're staying in one place for so long. Two British artists have brought a combination of fun, art, and environmental concerns to the sidelines of the G7 summit. They have created a modern-day version of famous sculpture carved into America's Mount Rushmore. This time, it's called Mount Recyclemore. Joe Rush and Alex Rakic have made a sculpture of G7 leaders with electronic waste. They say their major goal is to raise awareness about the amount of unrecycled tech and gadgets, the damage they cause to the environment, and the ways to combat the issue internationally.
Well, what I'd like them to do, the leaders of the G7 conference, is I'd like them all to talk to each other and work out a plan that isn't just shifting the problem from one country to another, you know, but actually is a plan that we all work on together, which is how to deal with this waste and how to stop producing so much waste and how to recycle things. And all these issues have got to be dealt with globally. They can't be dealt with nationally because that's where the problem is. So we need them all to get together, like we put them together here, and deal with the problem.
The United Nations says 53 million tons of electronic waste are generated annually all over the world. It estimates that the amount of the waste will double in less than 30 years. If that happens, electronic waste would become the fastest growing waste stream in the world. Advanced robots are increasingly helping humans in a variety of innovative ways. Now they have found a place in the healthcare system and will help nurses and doctors stay safe during the COVID-19 pandemic.
I can do all kinds of things for elderly people. I can visit with people and brighten their day with social stimulation, entertain and help guide exercise, but also can do talk therapy, take bio readings and help healthcare providers assess their health and deliver treatments.
Grace, which is the newest humanoid robot to join the healthcare fleet. This intelligent machine can take temperatures and record other vital signs of patients. It has been designed in a way to also interact with the elderly and those isolated by the pandemic. Grace is a new prototype of celebrity humanoid robot, Sophia, created by a robotic team in Hong Kong.
So we designed Grace to look professional in a healthcare setting. So that would mean so that she would resemble the sort of human-like appearance of healthcare staff. And so then this would facilitate more natural interactions. A human-like appearance facilitates trust and facilitates a natural engagement because we're wired for human face-to-face interactions. That's just the way human beings are.
Hansen, a while standing between Sophia and Grace, also said that both robots could speak different languages. He said Grace's creation was aimed at relieving the burden of frontline hospital staff dealing with COVID-19 patients. The company is planning a mass production of Grace and offers them to the market by August. The cost of making this robot is similar to a luxury car. but the cost is likely to decrease once the company begins manufacturing it in its thousands.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trendy news, and more from every corner of the world.
A tiny worm has wriggled back to life after lying frozen for 24,000 years in the permafrost land of northern Siberia. The organism was recovered from soil samples taken from 3.5 meters below the ground in Russia's Yakutia region. It's a multicellular organism that can withstand extreme cold. This ancient worm has broken the record for the longest living abeloid rotifer worm. Previous research suggests that it could survive for a decade when frozen. Earlier, scientists also discovered 30,000-year-old microscopic worms from northern Siberia. Australian scientists have discovered one of the world's largest ever dinosaur species in the Erromanga area in outback Queensland. Research shows the plant-eating sauropod lived between 92 million and 96 million years ago when Australia was attached to Antarctica. Paleontologists estimated the dinosaur was as long as a basketball court and as tall as a two-story building. That makes it the largest dinosaur ever found in Australia and one of the top five largest ones in the world. Bones of the dinosaur were first uncovered more than a decade ago by cattle farmers. Iranian capital Tehran has hosted a festival of cake sculptors. The event showcases delicious sweets that are carved into eye-catching sculptures. Yusuf Jalali has more.
It's not a piece of cake to bake a sculpture, but pastry chefs here have made it. In the fourth festival of cake sculptures in Iran, sugarcraft artists from across the country have come under one roof in Tehran to cast their spell on these sweets and carve a wide range of fascinating 3D figures out of them. From this tasty coronavirus to this beautiful angel that is picking up the only eatable trash in the world.
Here you can see this angel, which represents the innocent heart of labor children, collecting pieces of trash that contain some of the simplest dreams of a labor child, such as quality food, books, and toys.
My cake is made based on what we call installation art. I have put together iconic structures and monuments of Iran, but when you take a look at them from a special angle, you can see Iran's map.
Some of the cake sculptures here have really pushed the envelope of the art of sculpting, like this bust that shows the 13th century Persian poet Rumi, surrounded with a heavenly garden that's decorated with intricate and mind-boggling details. It took its creator almost a month to finish it.
In the middle, I have put the bust of Rumi, who we refer to as Maulana in Iran. He's holding his most significant verse work, Masnavi Manavi. The garden I created around him and the birds here all are inspired by his poems.
Organizers say they hold the festival every year to modernize the confectionery industry and combine it with fine arts to make it more appealing to the public.
500 works are showcased here in four sections. Bust cakes, wedding cakes, cookie cakes, which are made using royal icing, and the fourth section is cream cakes. The major goal is to scout for talents who can revolutionize the confectionery industry.
Some of the participants in the festival are pastry chefs who try to make their cakes look better, and others are actually pro sculptors who want to bake a figure instead of carving it. Perhaps it's easy to tell who is who by taking a glimpse at their cakes. But sweets will win the competition. They're both delicious and delicate.
It takes ultimate care and a knack for both bakery and artistry to be able to transform sweets into statues. In fact, they're both so spectacular and yummy that make you want to have the cake and eat it too. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, especially this program, today's special, so welcome. Today we're going to speak about extensive presence of people in the elections supports Islam, so be with us. First, let's look at the calendar. Today, Thursday, is the 6th of Zilqa'dah 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 27th of Khordad 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 17th of June 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by recitation of chapter Al-Hajj, Verse 41.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الذين إن مكناهم في الأرض أقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأمروا بالمعروف ونهوا عن المنكر
And they are those who, if we give them authority in the land, establish prayer and give zakah and enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. And to Allah belongs the outcome of all matters.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
If the righteous persons have the power and potentialities in their possessions, they usually utilize them correctly. But if they are in the position of some inept ones, they often misuse them. Therefore, the means of the world and power are as some blessings for some groups of people, while they are the means of misery for others. So the Quran refers to both of them.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
The status of people. In Islamic State, people play an active and decisive role in legislation, policy making, and enforcing laws. For instance, people participate in legislation and major policy making of the society by electing members of the parliament. They participate in collective policy makings by electing members of the councils. They elect members of the Guardian Council to participate in determining the leader and supervising him. And finally, They elect the president as the highest state official after the leader. Nevertheless, it should be noted that people's role in all these affairs is in accordance to religious rules and cannot be contrary to them. Article 6 of the Constitution in Iran states, in Islamic Republic of Iran, the state affairs must be managed based on the public votes, through elections of the president, MPs, member of parliaments, members of the councils, and the like, or through plebiscite. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about the significance and importance of presidential elections. Elections in general and particularly presidential elections in the Islamic Republic of Iran. As we know, prior to the establishment of the Islamic Republic of Iran, there was the royal system in Iran. And in the royal system, as practiced everywhere, we find that in the royal system, at least in Iran, and to my knowledge, in many countries around the world, people are not that free to select and to choose the most favored candidates for being their representatives in councils and in parliaments and assemblies. In most countries in the world, we find that some powerful organizations or parties come to forward and to favor some people as being representatives, while those people may have little connections with the masses of the community. In Iran, before the Islamic Republic of Iran, a great number of parliamentary representatives and in other sectors of the community, the representatives had a little connection with people, with the greater masses of the community. Hence, they were mostly representatives of the ruling systems. Since the Islamic Revolution of Iran that appeared in 1979 under Imam Khomeini in Iran, we find that from time to time we have elections, various kinds of elections. Some people register the names as candidates, and after some certain procedures, we find that just a limited number of them are selected, and people are free to vote to any of them. We find that in the Islamic Republic of Iran, this public support in favor of the political regime of the Islamic Republic of Iran has played a great role in encouraging our politicians and policy makers in favoring and in formulating those policies that are very much to the benefit of the whole nation.
With today's special from IRIB English Radio, what are the mutual duties of the people and Islamic State? Generally speaking, the first and the most essential duty of the statement is their commitment to their responsibilities toward people. Some of these responsibilities may be attempting to preserve the autonomy and glory of the society and removing foreigners' dominance in all spheres. Preparing the ground for scientific, religious, cultural, and moral growth and development of the society, creating in land and overseas security and dominance of justice, spreading welfare and prosper, and attempting to fulfill the material needs of the society. Okay, now among the most important people's responsibilities are providing serious and decisive support for the government and its agents so that they can perform their legal duties, especially in times of crisis and risky situations. Providing suggestions and corrective and benevolent instructions along with accurate studies and investigations according to demands of time.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
Now, why should we vote? Elections have consequences. You have the power to decide on the quality of life you want to yourself and future generations. Voting is your chance to stand up for the issues you care about, like public transportation, raising minimum wage, and funding local schools. This is your life. Take the time to help decide what's best. Not voting is giving up your voice. Elections are decided by the people who go out and vote. Take some time and learn about the measures and the candidates. If you don't vote, someone else will make the decision for you. Your power is in your vote.
Say in it. By voting, through political engagement, we get to decide. This is a democracy. And in a democracy, you have a say, whether you're the majority or the minority. Even though the minority, their voices are heard. Thus, our voice has to be heard. We sit and we complain that this country and that country is supporting certain regimes, certain wars, certain oppressive governments, and we don't do anything about it. Well, there's no reason to complain, because you can do something about it. Through political engagement, you have something to say about it. Salla ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Look at the logic of the Quran. Look at the logic of the Quran, and you will be able to decide which view is most in accordance to the Quran. You be the judge. The view that says let's abstain from political engagement, or the view that says we should engage in politics in our countries. Look, the Quran says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. You want to sit and complain of Islamophobia, that we Muslims don't have our rights in certain states, they want to ban the niqab, they want to ban the hijab in public places. You want to sit and complain? Allah says, I gave you the ability to do something about it. You could have improved your situation, but you couldn't. But you didn't. Not that you couldn't. You didn't. So who are you to blame? Why do you put the blame on others? Why do you expect that Allah will perform a miracle for you when you sit lazily and you don't do anything for yourself? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ. Allah will not change us unless we make change for ourselves. We change ourselves. And then Allah will say, I'll give you a push and I will support you.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special, this episode of today's special. May Allah bless you all. Have a nice time. في أمان.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.